Folks, I've got answers to the questions you've been asking. Sit tight and listen up. It's time for FACTS. That's how I read it in my head whenever I see the acronym for frequently asked questions. I think it should just be its own word. So I'm gonna start that trend right now. Here we go. The range of questions here is sort of extreme. I get questions from people semi-regularly through Facebook, email, my Bandcamp page, my old blog. And I also just put up a call for questions on the socials last week. So there's a pile to pick from. The odd thing is there's nothing really middle of the road about what people are asking. It's either very detailed artistic stuff from people who know my music really well, or it's very general stuff from people who haven't been in my orbit in a long time. There was also some light, fluffy stuff from people who I think were just having a little fun with me. So I'll say quickly that my dog's name is Purple. Yes, that's her name. She just turned 1 year old. Yes, I've written a song about her. And I haven't had super long hair like in that old YouTube video since 2002, though I did grow it out again a bit in like 2010, 2011. I lopped it all off just before I got to ponytail length, though, and I have no plans to do it again.
This dog, she really only eats carnivorously out of habit. But I'm not joking when I tell you she would rather eat a salad. Zucchini and asparagus and eggplant and tomatoes. Lettuce, kale and broccoli and rosemary potatoes. Sometimes I wonder if my puppy is actually a rabbit. I call the veterinarian to explain how she feeds. My dog's a vegetarian. Can this be what she needs to fuel the smile machine? Woo, she's just the smile machine. The smile machine, woo.
So let's dig into the questions of substance. To start, the most common question, comment, whatever I hear can be boiled down to this. Seth, why isn't your music on iTunes anymore? You can also insert Spotify or Apple Music or any other streaming service here. I think it's basically the same question. Well, I'm glad you asked, but first a disclaimer. I was lending an ear to a fellow artist recently, and this artist seems to have great fan relationships, but is just as concerned as I am about the way things are happening behind the scenes for art and music in the world today. We compared notes, and one thing this artist said is staying with me. Lie to them. They said, I lie to my fans all the time. Some of them might care if you tell them how bad it's getting, but most people don't want to know you're having a problem. If something's convenient for them, but you tell them it's not fair to musicians, they'll get upset about it, but they'll get upset with you. You'll lose fans if you make them feel bad. Yeah, I can't be that person. Totally inconsistent with my nature. You're getting the truth. So fair warning, everything ahead is real. If you don't want to know how the sausage is made, you probably shouldn't tour the factory. I don't want to make anyone feel bad, but some people might. If you think you might, maybe just bail on this episode right here. All right? Fair warning. That said, I think the idea of streaming is amazing. I think it's the obvious progression of technology at work. But currently, it's all run by crooks. Artists are being cheated out of their royalties, so a few years ago, I withdrew my material from the streaming platforms. It was actually just in the news again. The Copyright Royalty Board of the Library of Congress made a big deal about how they raised the amount streaming services have to pay out. Get this. The services now have to pay out at least 15% of their revenue to songwriters and publishers, although they now have 5 years to start complying with this order. Which means they have just been forced to up their payout to something that is still insanely degrading. 5 years from now, Spotify will have to pay out 15% of its take to the people who actually provide Spotify with its means to exist. Hello? Spotify doesn't tell anyone exactly how much their royalty rate will be. They once said that it comes to somewhere between 0.006 cents and 0.0084 cents per stream. The way they raise those nebulous numbers within 5 years is entirely up to them. So, yeah, nice job, guys. Excellent. Way to be transparent. Look, this is a con. Suspend your disbelief for a minute and go with me on this. This all means that if I were to put a song up on Spotify, and if it were to skyrocket to mega success and rack up 1 million plays, yes, my pinky is on my face when I say that, and assuming that I could somehow be assured that I'd be on the higher end of the Spotify pay scale, it would generate about $8,000 in royalties. 30% of that would go to the middlemen. That'd be taken by the services that help get independent artists on streaming services to begin with. So my cut, after 1 million plays, would be like $5,600. Please let that sink in. I could buy a third of an economy car for 1 million people listening to my song. That's what you call a hit. Now, I understand how the move to digital media has eliminated overhead from the music industry. I understand this, but considering all the time, all the money, all the devotion, everything that goes into promoting a song, the idea that the artist doesn't even make enough money to live off for any length of time is just an enormous slap in the face. This is exploitation. I mean, artists used to be massively exploited by record labels, but even back in the day, Elvis bought a Cadillac for his mother after he made it. He could afford to. As late as the 90s, artists could have one hit, one, and still afford a small house and a car, the trappings of a middle-class American existence. The deal was, if you worked hard and promoted your art and it was recognized, you got to be a normal person. So what, is it just that there's not as much money to go around anymore? So everybody just has to split a smaller pie? Well, no. This is the part that really chaps my ass. Spotify just filed to be recognized as a public company. You know, stock, sold on Wall Street. They just moved their New York office into the new World Trade Center, where they pay, I am not making this up, $2.77 million a month in rent. Spotify's New York headquarters costs them $2.77 million per month in rent. Spotify has over 3,000 employees, and each of them averages over $168,000 a year. and their interns average $26 an hour. Also, New York isn't their only headquarters. They have 20 locations. I can't even imagine how much they pay for those. For what? This is insanity. I was just talking about how the digital age means no more overhead for the music industry. What the hell do they need all that crap for? Why did their executives make nearly $200,000 a year while an artist with a million fans cashes out once with less than a third of that? I mean, why does a megastar make less than the person who gets the coffee at the Spotify office? This is not okay. It's a scam. I acknowledge that it's convenient for the listener, but it's massively degrading for art. When big corporations get exposed for using sweatshop labor in third world countries to produce products that they then mark up and sell to you for huge profits, activists get outraged and people organize mass boycotts. But what, artists should just suck it up and be thankful they get anything at all while Spotify cashes in on a stock offering? $5,000 for a million spins? That's our new brass ring? No thanks. There are so many better ways artists can have a relationship with their fans. I'm just not interested in playing the streaming game as it exists currently. But to get back to the original question, Apple is not blameless in this. I mean, I also took my music off iTunes, which isn't a streaming service. So why? Because they said that all music available on iTunes must automatically be available on Apple Music. I don't have a choice in this. If I want the opportunity to sell my music on iTunes to make a dollar off of a song, I must also offer that song on Apple Music for a fraction of a penny. What the fuck?
I looked up the word commerce to pacify my mind. Well, I must need new dictionaries. Seems the word's been redefined. I'd always learned it meant exchange of goods for currency of kind. But what I'm seeing everywhere is enterprise gone blind. You think you can make your money off of people taking mine? Well, buddy, you're not ready for the riot. You can't sell people religion, you can't sell the printed page. No, you cannot sell information in this web-forsaken age. You can claim your facts and figures, but there's just no way to gauge how we're so terrified of this paper tiger pacing in its cage. You think I won't shoot the messenger so you can make your getaway? Oh, buddy, you're not ready for the vision's finally clearing and my future's looking bright. Cause even though my boots are dirty and my chest is feeling tight, and everybody's blood is boiling, we're just waiting for a shot to break the quiet. But no one's ready for the riot. People say kill 'em with kindness, but that's never been my style.
So, no doubt, this makes a good many people ask the next question in our FAQ. Seth, how am I supposed to listen to you when you're not on streaming services? Well, this is awesome, because I love it when people ask how they can listen to me. So, short answer, you're supposed to listen through the ways I do make my music available, and there are a few. Great news, you're already doing the first one. You're listening to my podcast. Granted, this is part one where I don't play full songs, but anyone who becomes a $1 patron gets part two, where you get to hear all the full songs. More importantly, when you become a patron, you get downloads of the songs. A few times a year, I also upload the songs to Bandcamp, the web music store where I sell my music. Through Bandcamp, patrons are able to stream, yes, stream, the songs from the site or from the app. Bandcamp, by the way, is where all my music has been for years now. Ever since I removed it from iTunes, it's the only place where you can get my older albums, the stuff I put out up until 2009. Finally, Patreon. Patreon, Patreon, Patreon. That's where it's at. Patreon is where you subscribe and become my patron for a dollar a song. I put out maybe 10 monthly songs in a year, so a $1 patron can expect to spend a grand total of $10 on me in a year. I don't make music for likes on social media. I make it for people to listen to. My patrons are the people who put their hands up and said, I know it's the 21st century. I know people have shorter attention spans than ever, but I'm in. I want to listen to what you make.
1 in 5, it's said, are the opposite of dead. Another 1 in 5, you should leave well enough alone. The final 3 in 5 are technically alive, but these other 12 and 20 are just drooling to the drones. So I am looking at the way I live my life. I'm analyzing how I use my time. How often am I a passenger? How often do I drive? Striving to become that 1 in 5. 1 in 5. 1 in 5. 1 in 5 will net the most of what there is to get. Another 1 in 5 are spiders waiting for a fly. A dozen in each score don't care to know what life is for. These other 12 and 20 let existence pass them by. So I'm looking at the way I live my life. I'm analyzing how I use my time. How often am I a passenger? How often do I drive? Striving to become that 1 in 5. 1 in 5. 1 in 5. Looking at the way I live my life, I'm analyzing how I use my time. How often am I a passenger? How often do I drive? Striving to become that
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Next. These are the heavy questions, but they're important. So I've arranged these into what I think is the most logical progression so you can follow right along. Seth, why don't you put your songs out as albums anymore? Okay, this one bugs me a bit because the short answer is I do. I do put my songs out on albums. The last one I did came out just over a year ago. It was called The Mean. It still is called The Mean. And I did the most relentless promotion I've ever done for it. I made the album for my most dedicated patrons. Most of them got it as a gift from me. But I let everyone in on it because people had been saying, why don't you put your songs out on albums since I started using Patreon? So everyone on my email list knew the album was being made, and everyone who followed me on social media knew the album was being made. So I threw myself into the project with everything I had. But aside from my patrons, and some of them actually volunteered to pay for it anyway. But aside from them, I sold 84 copies. Now, I appreciate those 84 people intensely. If that's you, thank you. I know you're out there. But keep in mind, at the time, my mailing list had over 2,000 members. I can see the stats on how many people opened my messages, and I know the vast majority of my fans knew about this album. So imagine my frame of mind when I can see that a certain group of people asked why I don't put albums out anymore and then opened at least one of these emails announcing that I'm releasing a new album and then didn't do anything about it. They didn't order the album. And then the album came out and they didn't have it. And then I decide that, dang, it's not really a good idea to put an album out since these people who say they want an album aren't going to buy it. And so I start pushing people towards Patreon again, and then these same folks ask again, why don't you put albums out anymore? So it's frustrating, but there it is. I mean, I know who these people are. I know there's a likelihood a few of them are listening to this. The thing I wonder about is, do these people realize I'm talking about them? See, I don't think most people are mean-spirited trolls. I just think most people aren't paying any attention. So I wonder if they know. If it was you, would you know?
Rant away about all this homogenization that you're forced to hear. yet refuse to pay for our records, then ask us why we've been forced to disappear. Well, what would you pay if we asked you to give us what's fair? You see, value depends on demand, which demands that you care. And why would I beg for the things that I need when my sadness can only be deepened? Well, what am I worth and why should I bleed to create what will only be, what will only be cheapened?
Seth, if you care so much about money, why don't you tour anymore? I should indicate here, that is the phrasing of the question as submitted. The connection between money and touring was implied by the asker. And this is a curious thing because the short answer is that I don't tour anymore because there isn't enough money in it. The idea is that all music is free now, but artists can still sell tickets and t-shirts. And that idea has found enough popularity that people don't think about it anymore. It's just become this thing people say. It's a soundbite, and it alleviates people's guilt. But it's a fallacy. It's not true. It doesn't always work in the real world for any artist if they don't have like a full-time support team. People who saw me 15 years ago in a bar for $5 didn't think I was valuable enough to see again in a bigger listening room or at a house concert for $10. And that prevented me from getting to the level where I could charge $15 or $20. And really, when an artist can charge $15 or $20 for a ticket, that's the level where they can start making a living from touring. So people aren't lying when they say an artist can make a living from touring. You just need to be at a certain level, and it's not the $5 ticket level. So my fans didn't grow with me, and so my audiences shrank, and I couldn't make enough money to go out on tours anymore. So I had to try and make smaller tours happen. And that gets really tricky. If you don't know my story, I'll try and condense it. If you do know my story, bear with me. This is the 90,000th time you've probably heard it. But I lived on the road full time from March 2002 through May 2005. I didn't stay in one town for, I think it was longer than 14 days that entire time. That period of my life became all the songs on the record Conduit. I usually played 5 or 6 nights a week because even if I didn't have a gig booked, I would pull into whatever town I was passing through at night and go to the biggest open mic I could find. And I'd sign up and play for strangers. I slept in my car more nights than I can count, occasionally on the floor or couch of a friend or a really trusting fan. And I lived pretty much off of the freebies that the gigs would give me, the free coffee or the pizza from cafes or bars. And I didn't care about money. I would do anything to get my music out there. I was paying my dues, and I knew that. I cared about trying to build a tribe of people. And I knew that putting this time in early would be the key to making any money later. So I did get paid at my gigs. I don't mean I was going around just at the mercy of anyone who would have me. I had gigs and I got paid, but all that money just paid for me to stay on the road and play more gigs. So when I got off the road and moved to Reno in 2005, in my pocket, I had exactly the same thing I had before my first tour date in Atlanta in 2002. Nothing. And I settled down, but I still revisited those towns. But each time I would go out on a mini tour, I would see fewer and fewer people. I would send emails and I knew they were being read, but except for a few places, I was becoming a nobody again as fast as I'd almost become a somebody. And the kicker was that maybe a week after I'd returned home from, you know, some so-so gig in City X, I'd get emails from fans in that city who said, "Hey, I missed your show, but come back soon and I'll be sure to make it." And I realized I'd been naive because when I traveled all the time, it was not a big deal if somebody missed a show because the chances were that I'd be back again in like 3 or 4 months anyway. But suddenly, there was no chance of that. And I think it took a lot of people, really a few years, to understand. This is also around the time people stopped reading emails like they used to. This is about the time spam filters started taking artists' emails out of people's inboxes and making them search for them, and people just didn't. So it was pretty heartbreaking for me. And then when I first moved back to upstate New York, this was like 2011, 2012, I tried a new idea. I told everyone that I was available for house concerts. I said that if I could book a cluster of house concerts in the same general area, you know, the same state, within a week, it was on. And I got some interest. Suddenly I had like 10 clusters of potential shows, and I put them on a Google map that I posted for everyone to see. But the problem was nobody would be the first to commit. If there was a potential show in Philly and a potential show in DC, Philly would say, "Let me know when DC says yes." And DC would say, "I'll do it if Philly does it." And it's already huge when somebody opens up their home to host a house concert. I mean, they're taking on a big responsibility, and you shouldn't take that for granted. So I wasn't about to tell one host, "Hey, the other shows are drying up, so if you want this, you have to pay me more so I can make some money." That just doesn't work. So ultimately, only a few of those shows came together. And for most of the time since then, I haven't played outside upstate New York. But just a few months ago, I got fired up to try it again because my nephew was born out in California, and I figured I'd take a road trip out there and play shows along the way. So I made a little webpage with the information about booking a house concert, and I laid out my travel plan, and I said, "Here's where I want to be on these dates. If you want to host a house concert, boom, let's do it. This is how to do it." And out of the 8 locations I had on my list, I got interest from hosts in 5 of them, which was awesome. And I was really optimistic, and I started making the plan. And then in 1 week, 4 of those hosts dropped. They either reneged entirely or stopped replying to me, and I had to cancel the trip. I figured out what happened later. In each case, it boiled down to a host offering because they were excited, because they didn't read anything. They just didn't know what they were signing up for. And then I'd contact them later and start talking with them about these details, assuming they knew what I was talking about. And they realized they had no idea. And they either got embarrassed or upset or anxious or overwhelmed, and they just bailed. So it's hard. The reason I don't tour anymore is because touring does not equal money. I'm not taking it off the table entirely. I would love to get back out there again, but I don't know. I still have to tweak it. I still have to find enough people who care, who have the attention span to read a whole webpage. Anyway, we're not announcing a tour of any kind right now, but stay tuned. I'm sure I'll announce something again at some point.
Sometimes I wait, happens without a warning. I can't sleep until 3 in the morning, and I reap the harvest of all the seeds that I've sown. No home all year, I move from place to place, haste to waste time as I'm displaced. My track record keeps being erased. I'm not exactly what you call reality prone, 'cause the only way I know to get to my goal is to sacrifice my psyche for the sake of my soul. And the fact is, home is more than just where you hang your hat. Feel like a soldier, always transferring from station to station, always moving with impatience, no time to build relations. And it seems to be my sanity is the toll that it exacts. Alone, a drift between two oceans, losing depth, atone for sin long forgotten, present still. The phone could help with no connection, no concept of self or names. A known or constant motion, no concept of home.
Okay, here's an easy one. Seth, why doesn't your podcast have ads? Ready? It does. You've already listened to a bunch of them. The Seth Horan podcast is brought to you by Seth Horan. I play you my music on this thing. I do that because I'm hoping you'll dig it. If you dig it, I'm hoping you'll pay a buck and subscribe so you can get it. One more time for the newbies. You just go to patreon.com/Seth Horan. The link is in the show notes. and you click become a patron and you hook up a credit card and you'll barely notice the dollar that gets charged. I mean, in a year, you'll spend less on me than you do on one trip with a friend to Starbucks. But when a lot of you do it, that support adds up fast and it means a ton to me. So please, if you like what I do, pledge a buck to the cause. See? Advertisement. Okay, that's all for part one. More questions in part two, and part two, as usual, is available to all patrons. Sign up at Patreon, get on the bus. It's the 21st century way to keep non-awful corporate bad music from taking over your life. More answers to more questions after the jump.
Hey, old friend, it's almost nice to hear from you again. I feel I should proclaim I still remember way back when. And though you've told me everything about your status quo, seems my last memory of you's from two presidents ago. Cause I keep you as I saw you last. I keep you as I saw you last. I keep you as I saw you last. And I